Chaz and AJ in the Morning, 99.1 PLR. Jake Dozer's in. He's a financial advisor with Johnson Brunetti. And he heard Jay Timothy's on Reno talking about the sauce and that it's available at Big Y. And he texted his wife.
Hey,
that's a good move.
You know, look, I know where to go, and I know where to get the best wing sauce. So
see?
can't go wrong there.
Right?
Now, is it at all Big Y's, you think?
I'm assuming.
After he announced it on the air, I don't know.
Do they write J. Timothy sauce on it?
They might carry it. Question. It might not be there.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
He slipped me a 20 to say that. So nice. That's why not.
Yeah.
That's nice. Good financial sense.
Well, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This is going to be a great segment if everyone participates.
Yes.
And
yes.
Ask questions and they really want help or can help by telling us how they got out of a financial hole.
Right.
But this is a guy, you know, it's all about money and, you know, trying to make ends meet.
Right.
And then taking it beyond that.
Exactly.
AJ's got the blank look already.
Well, because I'm already like, you know, in debt past my eyeballs.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot of medical debt.
You got a ladder?
Yeah. What are a couple of things that people generally get wrong?
I think probably the first thing when we're thinking about the foundational elements is making spending patterns without paying attention to what you're doing.
Okay.
You know, specifically, I'm thinking not just a budget, but just watching where you're spending your money. You know, if you are swiping the card every time, like I am, and you're not tracking on the backside where you're spending money, you're going to wake up at the end of the year when you do your New Year's resolution, and you're going to just be blown away about how many times you stopped at McDonald's and Starbucks and Dunkin' and just spent money and you didn't even realize it.
Wow.
In November, I started doing that and I started tracking. I went from January all the way to November.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote down every time Jennifer and I went out to eat.
Wow.
The number was shocking.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, and I mean, shocking.
Yeah.
Well, and that's exactly it. You know, I always tell people, because, you know, spoiler alert, the next tip I'm going to give is that you shouldn't expect perfection out of yourself. But, you know, the reality is that a lot of times we're swiping our card, we're spending money, and we're not recognizing where it's going. And so I encourage a lot of folks, like, don't jump ahead and budget yourself into a lack of fun or enjoyment. Just constrain those things. That's the big thing.
That's it. Yeah. I'm constraining all my bill paying. That's what gets all my money. I don't go out.
Chaz, yeah. You started to get rid of some of your streaming services, too.
Yeah.
Those add up.
Yes.
Because the monthly, they change. And like, yeah, it's a dollar, but when they're all a dollar.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, Jennifer and I are pacing ourselves now. We go out on Friday and Saturday, but one of those has to be a very cheap place.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's smart. Setting little rules for yourself.
Right.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of these things is, you know, speaking of these subscriptions and things, create little things that become obstacles, whether it be an alert on your phone that says, hey, every first of the month, I'm looking at where I'm spending. And that's a great place to start, you know, and it just creates that pattern interrupt that says, ooh, maybe I should be thinking about this. And next thing you know, just by thinking about it before you even take the full step into a budget, you're slowing it down because you're cognizant of it. That's a huge thing.
Yeah. What else do we do wrong?
Well, I think, again, the next one is expecting us to get to perfection and not take sometimes two steps forward and one step back. What I mean by that is a budget oftentimes is perceived as this pain point. You know, we're retirement planners at Johnson Brunetti where I work. And so we're working with people who are about to retire, who have recently retired. That's our primary audience. My point is, though, is you would be shocked. 99% of those people come in. They don't even have a budget, right? They're like on doorstep of retirement. They don't have a budget. And I think it's because it's
so what do you mean? You sit down with them. You ask them a question. So what are you going to need every month to live so we can calculate this out?
Exactly.
And they're like, I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly. Or they have like a rough idea. And typically, because I do this all the time, they throw a number and I'm like, oh, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, that's not right. We're going to have to revisit that.
Yeah, that's delusional.
You're never going to live on that.
Right.
So where do you plan to live?
Right.
In a shack in Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly.
With Al in the shed.
In Catford, yes.
Yeah.
And so to that end, I encourage people, don't look at budgeting. So first of all, obviously in that context, a budget is critical. You have to know, you have to start with the end in mind. But specifically when we're talking to anybody, don't look at a budget as, oh my word, I'm going to stop myself from having fun, stop enjoying money. I'm going to be overwhelmed. Take it one step at a time. That's true with anything in life, but you know, you want to say, okay, step one, let's pay attention for the next couple months of where we're spending money. Maybe we don't even write anything down. Step two, let's write down a list of here's where I'm spending my money. Here's the day of the month that comes out. Here is, in contrast, when I'm incoming my money. And what you're doing is, you know, if talking to a business owner, you're creating an inflow and outflow cash flow analysis. You know, we're not going to call it that because it's scary. But effectively, you're just, again, you're, where am I spending money? Okay, let's write it down. And then step three, once you're ready for it, let's start trimming the fat in some of the excess areas. Obviously, at some point, you're going to sink your teeth into much more in-depth. All right, rubber meets the road. Let's commit to this. But you can wade in. You don't have to jump into the deep end with this stuff. Okay. And that's true with any financial element.
Yeah. Teabag. Have you ever had a financial conversation with someone named Teabag?
This week?
I have.
I'm ready for it.
I know you have. Teabag, I know you have. All right, go ahead.
I like the envelope theory. So basically, at the end of each week, I take whether it's a 20, a 50, a 30, and I put it in the envelope like it's a bill that needs to be.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Like a phone bill, for example.
Yeah, the phone is exactly. Yeah, you're clicking in and out here.
Oh, sorry, guys.
So you just stick some cash.
I love you guys.
Thank you. So you stick some cash in an envelope each week.
Yeah. Yep.
I like that.
Can't skip it. Right. It's like a bill. It's got to be paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah. You know, Teabag, you just keyed in on something that's important. I think it's very similar. Budgeting is very similar to dieting. You have to, it's calories in, calories out.
Okay.
Budgeting is money in, money out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So with calories, you want less calories going in, more calories going out.
Right.
Money, you want more money coming in, less money going out. You want to make more than you spend.
Right. I try to.
That's key. The biggest mistake I make, you know, listen, if you're young and you're going to buy a house, the number that you think it's going to be, add some more on. Don't buy up to your limit. Buy less than what you can afford, and you will love life.
Okay.
Because there's a, wow, I didn't think about lawn maintenance. I didn't think about the lawn mower. Right. I didn't think about, oh, this breaking down. Right. I didn't think about this particular cost.
Oh, we need a new heater. Oh, yeah. We need a new furnace.
Yeah. How come he has a roof?
Exactly.
Look at his gutters. Don't touch the ground.
Damn birds keep coming in here eating my bread.
Beef man.
Good morning.
Hey.
I have a question about 401k. I mean, obviously, you should always take the company match when you can. Now, if you're over 55, you could take that company match and you could just withdraw it without penalty, correct? So, I mean, if you really think you can't afford it, you should try that. Do you think that's an interesting, a good strategy?
So 55 isn't the age of penalty-free withdrawals. 59 and a half is.
55. My mistake. Okay.
No worries. 55, there is an exception, and there's very specific circumstances you can withdraw at 55. But for long story short, 59 and a half is the age at which you can withdraw. I wouldn't, I think it's, could you technically do that? Yeah. It's not a great idea because you're going to create an element where all of a sudden you're training yourself to withdraw from an account that you shouldn't need yet. Right. And so that's probably a really good indicator of like, hey, I've got like some other issue
bills
going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at the spending.
Yeah, I mean,
first.
I'm not saying you should do it, but I think I've had employees because I'm well over 59 and a half. So I'm not in that situation.
Fair
but
enough.
I've had
he's old beef.
Me, I can't.
Yeah. Aged beef.
Dry
aged
beef. Beef. We're going to call you aged beef now.
Right. But the thing is this, that they said they would come to me and say, I can't afford it. So I said, and they were over 59 and a half, you know. I said, we'll do that or do, you know, and then you can at least take your money back. So you're getting your company match.
Right.
And you're not losing money. That's the only reason I would tell them to do that.
Well, first and foremost,
keep it in there.
First and foremost, kudos for you for telling your guys to contribute to a 401k because so many employers throw it out there to try to attract talent and don't even want their people to really do it because it costs them money.
So important.
That's huge. And then second of all, you hit a great point. You have to at least be contributing to get your company match bare minimum. That's huge. So I think that you're on the right track. I think, again, that person needs to take a step back and say, all right, what else is going wrong? Where are the red lights on my dashboard?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that works technically.
Yeah. Thank you, Beef Man. Jake Dozer with Johnson Brunetti. He's a financial advisor in studio. He's helping us either dig out or plan for wealth.
Yes.
Let's create some wealth here.
I love wealth.
203-882-9757. Keith in Simsbury.
Hey, Jake. I think I've got a decent investment plan, but I keep wondering lately, should I be buying gold?
Gold like a pirate?
Yard blows.
No, I'm just kidding. In all seriousness, gold is not an awful, I'm going to use technical term, volatility buffer, meaning oftentimes it doesn't move in the same direction that the stock market does. However, should gold be an overwhelming part of anyone's portfolio? I don't typically believe so. If you look at the history of gold over a long period of time, the rate of return is abysmal. There's also this false sense of security that comes with gold because it's like, well, gold is safe. And in reality,
it's actually a thing.
Correct. It's a commodity.
Yeah.
And then also practically, it's extremely hard to invest in gold. Like if you think about gold, you think about a pawn shop where you're going to go buy gold.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, most gold brokers, that's how it works. You know, you might buy gold at $2,000 an ounce and then, you might buy gold at $2,700 an ounce and then have to sell it for $2,000 an ounce. So what type of rate of return do you need just to get back the commission that the broker charges?
Yeah.
And then finally, investing in a traditional IRA or 401k, it's really hard to buy gold. You have to go through a special broker, and you typically have to invest in gold companies, which gets back to you to square one, the stock market. So long story short, probably not.
All right. Well, while Keith is on, what about Bitcoin and crypto? What do you think of that?
I think that, you know, had we continued our previous segment where you asked me about mistakes, a lot of folks invest like gamblers and not like traditional buy and hold. And Bitcoin right now is a whole lot like
the
Wild West.
Man, was that the lightning strike of lightning strikes, though?
Yeah.
If you bought that, like, I remember having a dinner with someone and they mentioned Bitcoin. I'm like, what is that? And they tried to explain it to me. If I bought then, I wouldn't be here right now.
Well, sure. But again, doesn't that sound like your gambling friend's stories?
Yeah.
Right.
No, it does.
I mean,
it does.
So, you know, nobody, very rarely do people hit it rich. And so, I wouldn't bet on black. I wouldn't make cryptocurrency as a large part of one's portfolio. Do I think it's going to be here in some form or fashion in 50 years? I do. But especially
well,
for
the U.S. government's embracing it now. If China gets on board, it's going to go insane. Correct.
Right. Correct. Well, and the stock market volatility in the past week and a half beyond political things has been largely based on China's involvement with AI and AI and Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is based on technology and their basically security have an interrelated relationship. So. Yeah, I think it's here to stay in some form or fashion. Will it be Bitcoin? Maybe
was
largely
China
cryptocurrency.
Is the China AI thing real? Because it sounds like what they did is they used all of ChatGPT's data. They just put ChatGPT next to their AI and let them talk to one another. Because when you talk to the Chinese AI version and ask it what it was, it identified as ChatGPT.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there's going to be lawsuits coming. But
fair enough.
So that wasn't really this.
Fair.
You could say it was cheap, but it was cheap because you stole, you know, some intellectual property along the way.
And that's a fantastic life lesson, especially as it pertains to finances. Don't react. You know, we see this stuff on the news. For instance, the stock market did poorly on Monday, and this isn't a political comment. The stock market did poorly on Monday in response to tariffs announced Saturday. By the stock market close, most of those tariffs had been paused.
That's
and so you know what happens Tuesday is all the patient or institutional investors say, ooh, I'm going to take advantage of that emotional fear, and I'm going to jump in.
Right.
So stick with your plan. That's a huge, huge principle.
Right. And the people who do day trading, you have to know a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's better to just, you know, set it, forget it, kind of.
Either set
correct
it and
along the way.
Right.
But
set it and forget it, or work with somebody who does it for a living. Right.
Right.
So intelligence is recognizing that intelligence does not equal expertise. Right. So like
you're guessing.
Correct.
You're like a weatherman.
Right. Or
surmising.
Or you're Googling it and calling it research.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like a WebMD, but for money.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to bet my retirement or my future in any form or fashion on general rules of thumb. What my uncle's brother's plumber told me, what Google told me, what ChatGPT told me. That's not a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everybody needs to work with a financial advisor. I'm not saying people can't do it themselves.
I think people should.
I think it is good because it protects, most importantly, against wrong behavior. That's really what it does, and provides expertise.
Well, when you think about a building, before the building's built, before anyone shows up with a shovel, there's a plan. A blueprint.
Yeah, right. That a number of people sign off
on. They know what it's going to look like. They know what color it's going to be.
Yeah.
But yet the human life. Do you have a plan?
I'm working on it now because I had no plan. And here I am up to my balls in credit card debt. My emotional lady balls.
I was going to say, first of all, you have, big you have a huge problem.
I was going to say, that actually doesn't seem that deep.
And you can keep that chair, by the way.
Sean in Oakville.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey.
Morning.
So I've, like, dug myself out of debt, and, like, I'm finally comfortable.
Good for you, man.
More coming in than out. You know, my 401k is good. But, like, I'm trying to, like, look at next steps and, like, how I can build wealth. So, like, I was wondering if you had any recommendations. Like, I was thinking about, like, a Robinhood or a Webull or something like that. But it does. It feels like gambling because I don't know enough.
Do you have debt? Do you have credit card debt?
Yeah.
No. No, okay. I finally got all that gone.
Great.
I came from, like, 25K.
You have a mortgage?
No.
Nice.
Wow, you're in a good place.
Yeah.
You got good positive income?
Yeah.
All right, nice. So now you want it to work for you.
Right.
Fortune 500 companies, right? I mean, don't get risky. Don't get nutty.
Let's walk.
How old are you?
34.
Okay.
Awesome.
Nice.
You're in great condition.
You are. Look at you.
So I would say don't run before you can walk. You need to first create barriers to stop you from going back into debt in the event that that happens. So an example is a lot of times we get out of credit card debt. We're excited. We want to invest first. We need to first save. You need to build the emergency fund of
three to six.
I typically recommend if you're single, 3 months is probably sufficient because you've got no one else financially contingent upon you. 6 months if you have financial dependents, significant other, kids, etc. So you need to do that first. The second thing is you need to assess where am I at? What are my goals? Of course, a retirement goal is a long term one. And certainly step one in conjunction with the savings is, you know, at least getting the company match in your 401k. But I wouldn't go, you know, pedal to the metal with the retirement account yet, believe it or not. I would then determine, okay, if I don't have a mortgage and I'm 34, my guess is not because you paid your mortgage off. My guess, correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's because you're renting. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been looking to buy for like 6 years and it's just god awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree that it is awful. I will tell you, though, that this is true of anything with inflation. Inflation, you know, you'll watch the news and inflation's back in order and it's down. Well, that doesn't mean prices are going to come down. It means that the rate at which things increase in price are no longer exceeding that speed limit any longer. And so what that means as a home buyer is I don't need to sit on the curb for 6 years not paying or paying rent in an attempt to wait for houses to come down. Right. So my encouragement to you is that don't wait to try to time things that are outside of your control to put a plan in place. So whether it be home buyership, if that's a goal for you, which certainly is a better fiscal long term move than renting. Well, then maybe you just have the savings account. A, B, you get the company match in the 401k. And then perhaps the next step is don't put more into the 401k until you've built up a down payment for a house. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. And then buy the house. If you're going to live in it for over 10 years, you'll be fine.
Yep.
The market will adjust. It's not going to go to zero.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be there 10 years, it could dip, but it'll come back.
Yeah.
Understood. I definitely appreciate it.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean,
you're in great shape, Sean.
Yeah, man.
You are.
Watch your
thank
prices.
Thank you.
Good for him, man. Yeah. 34, he's in good shape.
Yeah. Inspiring.
I think he's doing better than he realizes.
So we got financial guy Jake Dozer in. He's a financial advisor with Johnson and Brunetti, and we're just talking here and answering your questions, 203-882-9757. Before we get to Phil, just a quick 401k question. Because somebody said, you know, you may not want to put it in a 401k. You might want to take the tax now, put it into, you know, some other account that's post 401k. What are those?
A brokerage account or a Roth?
Yeah, a Roth. That's it. Because taxes aren't going to go down.
In general, I would agree with that.
So
trend.
If you're 30 and you put this money in,
right.
This money's building in this account.
Right.
You retire 65, 70, whatever.
Right.
You're paying, you know, the theory is you're going to pay less because you're going to be making nothing.
Right.
Social Security.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
But really, that money's going to be taxed on a much higher because they never lower taxes.
Right.
Right. So like decades later.
Right.
What's your recommendation on that?
So what I would tell people is that normally it's not either or, it's both and, either at the same time or at different stages of life. So for instance, to your point, if somebody is 30, it sounds like, well, yeah, you got 35 years plus to go before you retire, put it in a Roth. Well, here's what I would say is that might be true, but you also have to take their income level in consideration.
Okay.
Right. So because taxes, I do believe, will go up in the future. But over 30 years,
if you're in the 30 plus tax bracket,
right.
Hide it now.
Correct. Generally speaking, yeah, if my income's high right now, it doesn't matter how high they go in the future. I don't know if I want to play that gamble.
Right? If you're making 50 grand, take it, put it in a Roth.
Generally speaking, that's probably a good idea. Yeah.
All right, Phil.
All right, so yeah, my son is going to be one at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And,
congratulations. Hey!
I know, it's crazy. Everyone tells you it's going to go fast, and then you're really just never prepared for it. So you mentioned the six-month emergency fund, which I believe that we've got kind of set up. You know, I don't have an exact number, but I think we'd feel pretty comfortable if we
Johnny
had
A's
to.
Johnny A's got some money, too.
Yeah, well, so this is the question. So we're getting a lot of gifts. We have some generous folks in our lives, which we're grateful for. Where should this money be? Mm-hmm. How distributed, between different things? Should we be looking into purchasing bank CDs? We have a question on line one kind of similar to that. Mm-hmm. Should we be building lines of credit?
Mm-hmm.
What's the appropriate way, and how much should, you know, where do you divvy everything up, basically?
Yeah, so...
What's a good CD paying now?
Maybe 4% for 12 months, maybe.
I got 5%.
Mm. Well, you probably bought it 6 months ago or more. I would guess.
I did.
Yeah. Mm. So see, interest rates in the past 3 or 4 months dropped. Federal Reserve has dropped interest rates
twice.
Would
you recommend Phil puts money into CDs?
Probably not.
Okay.
Your child's about to be one.
Yeah.
You probably don't want them to touch that money until they're 18.
Yeah, he has a long run ahead of him, which is good because you could withstand dips.
Yeah, we can wait, right?
That's right.
But like if we're looking to, you know, maximize like a small investment to start and then build that into like a more... Sort of impressive accounts. Like what should we be looking to take first steps, I guess?
One of two accounts you want to use. A, if you want to specifically earmark that money for college, a 529 plan is the way
529 plan.
And in the state of Connecticut, we have one of the best ones in the country. And as of the last time I looked at the law, you get a state income tax deduction for contributions up to $10,000 per year. And so that would be
like, I want to send AJ to college.
Right. Bingo.
I need a 529 on AJ.
I have a ton of CDs.
Trade school doesn't work for that though. Sorry.
Interesting. Okay.
So a 529, the problem with that is, so the benefit of the 529 is the state income tax deduction. That's a nice thing, but it's not a huge thing.
Right.
But you get this tax deferred growth, just almost like a 401k. And then you get to withdraw it from it tax free if it's used for qualified educational expenses.
Fantastic.
Eric, you have to ask yourself, is it going to be pigeonholed for only that money? And if not, then you shouldn't use that account because then you'd get a penalty and pay the taxes.
Okay. What about building credit? Is that something that we should start now or is that not necessarily something that should be a priority?
Give him a mortgage.
Yeah, get him a card.
You are
maybe
building credit.
Maybe credit cards.
Yeah.
For him, in his name.
Build credit in his name. Yeah. I think that now is probably not necessary if you want. I'm not saying it would be bad. But if you wanted to, you simply add him as an authorized user on your credit cards, and then he inherits your credit history. But don't do that unless you've had good payment history.
I'm not going to do that with mine. Maybe my wife.
Touche.
Imagine the kid is like Chewy has an 800 credit score.
Damn, man.
His tail is better than mine.
Kid's great.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Getting lunch visits at school from Rocky.
He can go into Toys R Us and just go bananas.
Platinum card. How the hell's that?
That's too funny.
Visa Jr.
All right, so it seems like we have some time here.
You do. You do have some time.
Very good.
And I was talking to him off the air. His consultations are free, Phil.
Yeah.
That's right.
Helpful. So, thank you.
Happy to help.
John in Brantford.
Yes, my question is this. You just stop.
My question is this. Can you talk into the mouthpiece?
Are you in a hallway?
No, I don't have this in one of my arms. It's hard for me to hold the phone.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Hey, can you hear me better now?
Are you the guy with the chainsaw?
Oh, wait.
No. The question is, basically, you get a stock that pays 5% roughly, you get a bank CD that pays maybe 4.25%, whatever. But the bank CD doesn't lose.
Stocks aren't guaranteed. Interest.
And you've got, you don't have all the federal, state, and local taxes. So if you have a certain amount to invest, would you take a bank CD over a stock?
So, John, you do pay taxes on the interest earned in a CD. So that's so it's apples to apples in that regard. Right? It's going to be the same rate as your income tax.
Right.
Hey, John, I'm going to grab your number. I'm going to give it to Jake. And because I feel like this isn't a 5-second answer. All right.
Right.
Okay, cool. Because I think that this could be a 5-second answer and then we're going to end it.
All right.
Fair. Jeff and Monroe, what's your question?
Hey, how you doing? So I owe $48,000 on my mortgage. I pay $120 a month in interest. Is it smart for me just to pay the thing off right now in cash?
How many years?
Or 5 years left.
What's the interest rate?
$120 a month.
No, the interest rate, the rate.
Oh, I'm sorry, 3.6%.
No.
I mean, probably
you're
not.
You're going to have to make more than that on the money that, you know.
Yeah. That's a pretty low interest rate. You're kind of borrowing money from the bank cheap.
Cool. Can I tell you something?
I was thinking that I'd save $6,000 in interest, wouldn't I?
I'd call 877-CASH now.
The loan.
That's right. You see what he did there? He just said he'll save $6,000 over the life of the loan if he pays it off right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're going to be able to plop it into an account and be able to earn more than that, theoretically. If you can't do that, then... Yeah, pay it off. But if you can, then yeah.
Is there any advantage for taxes if I pay it off or not pay it off?
No.
It's nice not having that payment, man.
Yeah,
it is. If you're in a place where you have the excess cash flow and it's not a huge deal for you to pay it off and still have a savings account, then there are times when the math doesn't matter and just pay it off for peace of mind.
Wow. Cash flow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, great. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day. Hey, I hope you're doing well.
And by the way, Jeff, good for you, man. Congratulations.
Indeed.
Really?
Thank you.
Really?
Thank
you. You should be proud of yourself, man.
Cash flow.
Very nice.
This cash flow you speak of.
All right, Jake.
Share some with me.
Is this something of your people?
AJ, what did you learn?
I'm broke. Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.